Before we turn to God's word and look at that passage, let's begin with a prayer. Lord, thank you for your word. We come before you this morning to learn. So Lord, we pray that you're going to open up this passage to us, that you'll speak to each of us individually in our lives, in our hearts, in what we know. And that as a result, we will be changed and transformed by you. So speak to each of us this morning. Amen. It's said that we live in the age of the soundbite. I forget long speeches these days. If you can't do it in 50 words, it's probably not worth saying. Okay? You've got to get it short, concise. In fact, we've got to get it so short and concise that we abbreviate things down so that you can keep it shorter. IRL. Apparently, in real life. Yeah? TBH, to be honest. Okay? Because you can't write the whole phrase. It's easier if you just do the abbreviation. Or maybe you've come across this one. In my humble opinion, when you're debating with someone and you don't want to write the whole phrase. You see, we want to condense everything down. Keep it short. Keep it concise. I think it's a great advantage when we come to the Bible. You know, Bible, pretty weighty tome here. Loads of books, chapters and verses. But the great thing is there's some really fantastic verses in here. In an age where the minimum attention span is literally minutes, there's some great verses in here that sum up the entire Christian message in just a few words. You can probably think of some, can't you? Verses that sum up the Christian message. The one that immediately springs to mind. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. It just sums up the Christian message. Jonah is another really good one. Jonah says, but I with shouts of grateful praise will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed I will make good. I will say, salvation comes from the Lord. A great summary of what it means to put your faith in God. Why? Because salvation comes from the Lord. And I want to add to that another couple of verses. Right in the middle of this passage, Colossians 2, verses 6 and 7. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Now that's what we're going to be looking at this morning. We read the entire 12 verses, which is important to set the context, but that's actually what we're going to be looking at, just those two verses, 35 words that sum up not only what it means to be a Christian, but what that means for us. And normally when we come to a passage, we say, right, okay, look, we'll do a bit of background here. And I'll explain the book of Colossians and who it was written to and what they were going through. But you know what? That's coming over the next couple of weeks. Next few months, we're going to be studying the book of Colossians. Jonathan, our minister, is going to be taking us through that. So I'm not going to do loads of background today. I'm not going to do loads of context today. I just want to focus in on those two verses, 35 words that teach us who Jesus was, what he came to do, and what that means for us. So, let's begin. Let's start with that first phrase that we see there. Just five words, okay? The beginning there, when he says, so then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord. And let's look at those words there. Just these five words. Received Christ Jesus as Lord. Let's start off with Jesus. See, Jesus was a historical figure. Okay? He lived. He breathed. He walked this earth. Okay? Peter, and James, contemporaries of Paul, spent 3 years walking around with him. John as well. I'm sure that Paul will have known of Jesus. Maybe even have heard him speak as well. But Jesus was a historical person that walked around on this earth. But he was more than that. You see, Jesus is the Christ. We tend to put this the opposite way around. We tend to talk about Jesus Christ. And when we do that, you get the idea that Christ is like a surname. It's not. It's a title. He is Christ Jesus, the anointed one, chosen by God, God's Son sent to earth. And sent to earth with purpose. Why? Because our sin, that rebellion that we do against God, had separated us from God. And there was no way back for us. And so Christ, God's Son, the Anointed One, is sent to earth to walk among us as Jesus. To live and to die. To hang on that cross and to pay the price for our rebellion. And to be raised from the dead is a sign and seal that that price has been paid, that we may have a relationship with God. Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus. And He is our Lord. He is our Lord. Our Master. Okay? We follow Him and His teaching. Why? Because of what He has already done for us. Not to gain His favor, but because of what He has done for us already. And so we say, You are our Lord and our Master. Christ Jesus as Lord. And then that first word there. As Paul writes to these Christians, he says, You received Christ Jesus as Lord. It's that kind of picture, isn't it, of opening a door into your life and saying, come on in, like receiving a guest. But more than that, you're not receiving a guest, you are receiving your Lord and Master into your life and saying, I invite you into my life, I now live for you. It's what becoming a Christian means. Nobody is born a Christian. Nobody is born a Christian simply because they were born in Surrey or England or the Western Hemisphere. You're not born a Christian. Every person who becomes a Christian at some point said, I will receive Christ Jesus as Lord. That's what becoming a Christian means. That's the Easter message. That's the Easter message, isn't it? That's what we were thinking about last week. Jesus, God's Son, Christ, the chosen one, coming to earth, dying for our sins, being raised from the dead, us receiving Him as Lord in our lives. That is the Easter message. Now that was last week. And it's a fantastic message, but the question is what does that mean for us? Because that is a fantastic message that we can receive Christ Jesus as Lord. But the question that comes as well is, what difference does that make? A couple of weeks ago, I sat listening to a PhD student explaining the sound that water makes when it goes through a hole. Okay, you're thinking, that doesn't sound very interesting. For me, it was fascinating. Part of the work that I do, I work for a water company. I'm an innovation manager there. And part of the work I do is I commission national work to look at water leakage, to look at how we can solve this issue. And part of that is, how much information can we get from the sound of a leak running that tells us about the type of pipe and tells us about the size of the leak? So I listened to this PhD student explaining his first year of work. and what he'd done. And it was really great stuff, quite technical, and I was having to look up things as he was talking to try and understand what he was doing. But when we got to the end of it, I said, now, that's brilliant. Thank you so much for that. What does it mean? What changes as a result? You see, I was very conscious that sat in that meeting were a dozen managers from different water companies who were commissioning that work and working with me on this. And what they wanted to know was, what was the practical application of what this student was studying? What could they take back to their teams that would make a difference? How could we guide this student so that his research over the next 3-4 years is exactly what we want? What does it mean? So what? What do we get out from that? Okay, Paul writes, you Christians in Colossae, you have received Christ Jesus as Lord. What does that mean? What changes as a result? Because that's true for us as well. For everybody who said, I am a Christian believer, for everyone who says, I have received Christ Jesus as Lord, what does that change? What does that mean in your lives? Paul carries on. He says, number one, be rooted in Christ Jesus. Great to hear Paddy talking about that and showing some great slides. I went out this week and I was looking at trees. And unfortunately, you suddenly realize that the only time you actually see roots is when they failed. Okay, when the tree's gone down and you actually see it. But generally, you look at all these trees and there's this root structure that's going underneath the ground. And that's where a tree gets its strength from. Well rooted. And when the wind blows and tries to knock that tree down, it's the roots that are holding it upright. And when the sun scorches it, it's the roots that are going down and seeking out moisture and bringing up the nutrients into that tree. Paul says, as believers, we need to be rooted in Christ. Be rooted in Christ Jesus. I really find it interesting what Paul doesn't tell us to be rooted in here. Do you notice that? Paul doesn't say, look, be rooted in me. I'm a teacher, I'm an apostle, be rooted in what I say. Paul doesn't say, be rooted in your congregation, your church there in Colossae. He doesn't say, be rooted in that. He doesn't say, be rooted in your Christian friends, in those around you who believe the same as you. Now, don't get me wrong, those are all really good things. But Paul says, be rooted in Christ. That's what's important. The same is true for us, isn't it? We shouldn't be rooted in Jonathan, our minister. Our faith doesn't depend upon him. Don't get me wrong, he's a nice guy. Probably listening in at the moment, I better say that. But Jonathan's a great bloke. Really nice guy. But look, our faith isn't rooted in Jonathan. Our faith needs to be rooted in Christ. Yeah, we have a great congregation here. I am thoroughly looking forward to when we can all gather back together. Thoroughly looking forward to when we can sing together. Won't that be amazing? Great congregation here. Love you lot. But our faith is not rooted in this congregation. If this church was to disappear like that, our faith should continue because it's rooted in Christ. And I have some great Christian friends, and I'm sure you do as well. And it's great to talk and sit with them and talk about Christ and talk about what God has done. But our faith is not rooted in our Christian friends. Sadly, people will let us down. God doesn't. Our faith needs to be rooted in Christ. A number of years ago, a preacher was speaking in Ireland. It was during the times when Ireland was trying to break free from the United Kingdom. And there was a lot of talk about the national symbol of Ireland, the shamrock, and people would say, we want to hear about the shamrock, we want to hear about Irish independence. But this preacher wasn't doing that. He was standing up and he was talking about Christ. And he was saying, Christ is what is important in your life. He is the most important person in your life. And finally, someone from the crowd shouted out and said, that's enough about Christ. Let's hear something about the shamrock. Meaning, I want to hear about Ireland. And the preacher leant forward and he said, in Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is shamrock. Meaning, not rock at all. Not something to put your trust in. We need to be rooted in Christ. And we need to be built as well. Be built up by Christ Jesus. Okay, now we're used to the idea of a church, of a congregation as being like a building. It's a picture that's often given to us that we're like building blocks. Christ is the cornerstone and we're like different building blocks that are there and that we need to be built together. But I don't think actually that's what Paul is talking about here when he talks about us being built up in that way. You see, I look at my life and I realize that I have grown and changed over the last 20, 30 years. We all have. Everybody changes and grows. It's part of who you are. You are built up by the experiences and the choices and everything that you have made. But what Paul is saying is our lives need to be built up in Christ Jesus. That those decisions that we make, those choices that we have, how we live our lives, those things that make us need to be built in Christ Jesus. That means that all of our decisions come back to Him. Who we have as our friends, how we choose them, how we talk with our friends, what subjects we choose when we're at school, what career we decide to follow and how we work, where we go to church, how involved we are with that church, where we live, what kind of house we have. Every decision we make needs to come back to Christ. Seen those little bracelets the young people sometimes wear? What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do written on their wrist? Because that is a life where you are built up in Christ, where you're saying, in this situation, I need to understand what Christ would have me do. It is a life where your whole being, where everything that you are, is only understandable in the light of the fact that you are a follower of Christ. When somebody looks at you and says, why do you live the life that you live? Why do you do the things that you do? You can turn around and say, the only way you will really understand why I live my life this way is if I explain to you that I'm a Christian. Because I receive Christ Jesus as Lord in my life. And so my life is built up in Christ. And then he says, rooted, built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught. Strengthened in Christ. That's a great phrase. I love that one with Paul. Be made strong by Christ Jesus. How? Paul talks about this teaching. Okay, as you were taught. It's one of the things I love about Paul. Paul writes some of the most emotive passages in the whole Bible. If you ever read, Corinthians chapter 13, where he talks about love, Paul has this great heart that he can express things so well about emotion. But what I really like about Paul is how much he focuses on what you know and how important that is. Because what you know changes how you act. Knowledge is really important. I had the vaccine a month ago. On the day I went to get the vaccine, the news broke about this danger, about the blood clots, and I found that I was going to be having the Oxford vaccine. I sat in the car and I looked some stuff up quickly on my phone. Just went on the internet, surfed it through, researched it. How many people had had this? What was the situation? Quickly get some information, understand what's going on, listen to the official guidance on it. And I went, I can see there's some risks, but I can see that the benefits outweigh that so much. The knowledge that I got there said, I will have faith in this vaccine. And I went and got myself vaccinated. Knowing the risks, but knowing the benefits. Okay? Knowledge changes how you act. What you know changes you. And that's what Paul talks about here. He says, the more you know about Christ, the more you will be changed and transformed by him. And he said, it's like training, being made strong, being strengthened. Okay? Now, those of you who have ever done some kind of sport, you know what it's like when you're training. Paul is saying it's like that. Being made strong in your faith is like training. And you go out there and you go through the effort because you want to be stronger at what you do. But interesting enough, if you've ever done something like that, you don't just go out with the same training program all the time. When I was doing triathlons years and years ago, okay, sometimes I would go out on the bike and you would have a really hard day. It would be long and your legs would be aching and you pushed yourself as hard as you could all day long and you'd come in and you'd just collapse. And then another time you'd have a different ride, a recovery ride, maybe a ride with some friends. And it would still be training, but it would be different. I guess one of the things is as we look at this, and one of the things that you see coming through in the Bible as well, is treat this like training. Maybe we need different types, and maybe here's the idea of cross-training. So I'm just going to give you three very quick things that you can think about in terms of your training, okay? In terms of gaining strength through what you're taught. So number one is, are you getting individual study? Time when you can study God's Word and think about what it says to you. Well, that's hard to get. I know it's finding those bits of time. But take the time to try and find something like that. For me, I like going for walks. I go for a walk, I get a verse, and I'll be able to think and meditate on that as I walk. That works for me. For other people I know, they go, no, I can't do that when I'm walking. I like to sit down, and I have to sit down with a book open in front of me and study like that. Absolutely. Find what works for you, but find some way of doing individual study of the Bible. Communal study. Do study with other people. That's number two. Studying with other Christian believers, it's great when you sit down with God's Word and you go, this is what I've seen, and somebody else says, I looked at exactly the same passage and I saw something else. And you think, I'd never have seen that myself. It's a wonderful thing when you study God's Word together, whether you do it through your YPF groups or your home groups, meeting with one other person to go through a book together. Find opportunities to study God's Word communally with somebody else. And then number three, listening to talks. Listening to talks like this. And I know it's hard. You know, the speaker's now been going on for, oh, I don't know, 20 minutes or so, and you're wondering when he's going to get to the last point, and you've got to keep your attention focused. But listening to talks is really important. It's how we learn. It's that bit where we come with commitment and say, I want to grow. I want to be stronger as a Christian. Some years ago, somebody wrote into the Times newspaper. And he said something along these lines. He said, I realize over the last 20 years, I have sat through hundreds, maybe thousands of sermons. I find that I cannot remember the full details of any of them. Does this not show that they were futile and worthless? It provoked a huge discussion in the Times with numbers of letters coming in, for and against. Finally put to rest by one wise person who wrote in and said, over the last 20 years, I realized I probably had hundreds, maybe thousands of meals cooked for me. I find that I cannot remember the full details of any of them. Does this not mean they were futile and worthless? Of course not. The food that we get every day feeds us and helps us grow. And every day we sit down to take that in because we want to grow stronger. Listening to talks is a struggle at times. I get that. But it is that commitment that we make that we want to grow stronger. We want to understand what God is saying to us. And so we sit down and we take time to listen because we want to grow stronger. We want to be strengthened by the teaching that we're receiving. And the final result of that, be overflowing with thankfulness because of Christ Jesus. You see, that's the result that comes out. Okay, when we're rooted and built up in Him, when we're strengthened in Christ by that teaching, we become overflowing with thankfulness because of Christ Jesus. I love the idea of something overflowing. Okay, you come across those bits where people talk about someone, they say, oh, there's two types of people in the world, glass half empty and glass half full. Those who say, oh, the glass is half empty, I should have more, I'm disappointed with what I haven't got. And those who say, the glass is half full, I'm satisfied, I've got something, it's wonderful. Do you know what? Forget glass half empty, forget glass half full. Being a Christian believer means that that glass is overflowing. God gives us so much. And the more you study and listen and learn, the more you ensure that you're rooted in Him and built up by Him, the more your glass will be overflowing because you will realize how much you have received. And that thankfulness overflows. And the wonderful thing about an overflowing glass is other people get the benefit as well. It's more than you need. And so other people will see that thankfulness that flows out from you that says, I've received so much from God that I want to share it with everybody else around me. It's overflowing. So remember. Remember what we have received. We received Christ Jesus as Lord in our lives. That is transformational. It changes our lives. It changes our relationship with God. And what's the result of that? What's the so what that comes out of that? From that we know that we must be rooted in Christ. Rooted in Christ. That our strength comes from Him. Built up in Him. So that each and every decision that we make as we go through life comes back to what would Jesus do? What does our Lord want us to do in this situation? Strengthened in Christ by the teaching that we've received and taking that time to listen and learn from God. And the result is that our thankfulness overflows because of what God has done for us. Amen.